One grievous day and night, there occurred portentous earthquakes and floods. And the island of Atlantis was swallowed up by the sea and vanished. Plato.
2,500 years ago, the Greek philosopher Plato wrote of an island he called Atlantis that was swallowed up by the sea in a single day and night, vanishing without a trace. Ever since, people have wondered where this mysterious island might have been, or whether it was all just a myth. New research suggests that Plato's story was based on real events. Recent underwater explorations off the Greek island of Santorini have revealed deposits from a massive volcanic eruption, one of the greatest in human history. And on Santorini itself, archaeologists have uncovered an ancient city, a lost world, buried by the catastrophe.
Scenes of destruction.
Based on the latest scientific research, this is the story of an incredible island, the people that lived there, and the extraordinary last days that inspired the legend of Atlantis.
Atlantis, end of a world, birth of a legend. A map.
3,500 years ago, the Greek islands were home to a powerful and advanced Bronze Age civilization, one that rivaled the Egypt of the pharaohs. These were the Minoans.
Knossos, Crete. Hundreds of spectators look on while in a large bull ring, an athlete pits his skills against a charging bull. He leaps acrobatically over the animal, which is then distracted by two other men who bait and goad it with pieces of cloth as they run directly in front of it. The spectators are clearly greatly entertained as the athlete leaps again, performing a neat somersault as he tumbles over the bull. Landing unharmed, he pumps his fists into the air and embraces one of his companions, who seems impressed by his daring as the crowd is. On a balcony, a woman wearing the tall headdress of a priestess stands up. Dignitaries bow to her, and a slave hands her a double-headed axe.
In this world, powerful priestesses presided over strange and dangerous rituals.
Having held the axe aloft, the priestess sits down again as another athlete enters the arena.
Handsome, isn't he?
Did you choose him for you, Mother, or for me?
My son is the finest athlete in all of Thera.
We all terribly impressed with him.
The athlete holds up a goblet.
Plato wrote of great bulls roaming the temples of Atlantis. And the bull was certainly central to Minoan culture.
Hear me, great Poseidon, creator of the earth and sea. Lend me the courage of my forefathers, and accept this wine as an offering.
So important was the bull that it gave birth to the legend of the man-killing Minotaur. Half human, half beast.
The athlete, Yasharu, a young dark-haired man in his 20s, spills wine from the goblet onto the sand, then prepares to face the enormous bull that's just been released from a pen at the side of the ring. Two comrades goad the bull with strips of cloth, while Yasharu turns his back on the beast, holding his arms outstretched to the side. He glances over his shoulder. In slow motion, the other men are now running, fleeing the advance of the mighty bull. While they do so, Yasharu turns and starts sprinting towards it. His eyes are focused on the pitch-black animal, which sports deadly-looking horns. A young woman in the crowd watches with expectation and concern as Yasharu leaps, spinning in the air. As he glides gracefully over the ball's back, the young spectator grabs the hand of an older woman. The crowd cover their eyes as they groan. Yasharu lands in an ignominious heap in the sand.
Yoshi, you're okay?
The priestess glances back at Rusa, Yasharu's father, and he quickly walks away.
Bull leaping is thought to have been an important initiation rite for young Minoan men, and possibly even women. A spectacle performed all over Crete in temple palaces like this one at Knossos. A massive complex of over 1,300 rooms. This was the cradle of Western civilization.
Terusa.
Where's Yasharu?
I was thinking I might leave him here. Save us all the embarrassment.
He's a boy, Pina. The wife creates the man.
Come.
On board a large boat.
Come and pull! Pull!
The Minoans dominated the Mediterranean for over 1,000 years, until an island 70 miles north of Crete blew itself apart. The island of Thera, known today as Santorini. Reconstructions of Thera show it consisted of circular belts of sea and land, just as Plato described Atlantis, because the island was the top of a gigantic volcano that erupts on a cataclysmic scale roughly every 17,000 years.
Hurtling into the mouth of the volcano.
By 1620 BC, a pool of molten rock, large enough to bury a city the size of London, had filled the magma chamber 7 miles beneath the island.
The smoking volcano.
When did this start?
2 days ago, Master.
2 days? You, pass me some fish. Can I have two?
Where are you going with those?
To Poseidon's Island. I've got an offering to make.
We'll have a feast to attend.
I won't be late.
Yasharu walks towards the bow of the boat, which is being rowed by a large team of men.
Thera's wealth was built on his mastery of the sea. Its fleet dominated the trade network of the Bronze Age world. The islanders grew rich, buying and selling goods from Africa, Asia, and other parts of Europe. Their streets were lined with multi-story houses, decorated with elaborate wall paintings. They built the world's first indoor toilets, connected to an underground sewage system. A luxury most Europeans would not enjoy for another 2,000 years.
A busy street.
Presiding over this prosperous society was the priesthood.
My son's wife, Pinaruti.
Welcome. I've brought you oil to honor your island goddess.
That's for the High Priestess, not for me. Come, I'll take you to her.
The priestess, Ariad, leads Pinaruti away, and soon they've arrived at a hilltop temple where the High Priestess stands observing the distant volcano.
High Priestess, Yashara's wife.
Oil from the fields of sacred Mount Jactus to honor your island goddess.
The High Priestess, Bansabira, accepts the gift.
Come with me.
Pinaruti follows her.
Minoan women were remarkably independent and influential. The most influential of all were the priestesses. Their role was to communicate with the gods often through elaborate rituals in which saffron seems to have been used as a hallucinogenic.
Cerasia welcomes you to Thera, Pinaruti. And we welcome you in your name. Join us to give thanks for your safe arrival here.
Yasharu dives into the sea, and a crewman throws two large fish after him.
Don't forget your offering.
Like other ancient civilizations, the Minoans believed that all things were inhabited by gods. There were gods for every natural phenomenon, from childbirth to earthquakes, stormy seas to mountain peaks.
Bansabira anoints Pinaruti with oil.
These gods weren't all seen as benign and merciful, but as temperamental and sometimes vindictive.
Yasharu's now walking towards the smoking volcano. Pinaruti, meanwhile, drinks saffron oil as a priestess starts to dance nearby. Yasharu reaches a stone altar.
Offerings were made by those seeking favor from the gods.
He places the fish down on top of it. Pinaruti appears to enter a trance.
And it was through ritual ceremonies that the priesthood sought clarity on the gods' desires.
Bansabira watches Pinaruti carefully as the other priestesses dance around her. Yasharu recoils away from the altar. Snakes are slithering out of a crack in the stone.
But in 1620 BC, the Minoans' complex belief system was about to be blown apart by geological forces beyond their understanding.
Pinaruti slumps to the floor. Feeling the earth trembling beneath him, Yasharu starts to flee, but a crack splits the ground open and a geyser blows him off his feet.
Pinaruti.
Bansabira goes to her.
It's okay, Pinaruti.
One of the first signs that the volcano was stirring would have been hydrothermal explosions triggered by superheated groundwater.
Ariad.
You saw something. What was it?
It was Yasharu. He was in danger.
What kind of danger?
A brief glimpse of Yasharu being smothered by ash.
The sacrificial axe was dripping in blood. His blood. Why would I see something like that?
Sometimes our visions don't come from the gods, but from our own fears. This place is strange to you. And perhaps you're unsure of your husband.
Pinaruti considers this.
Come. You have a celebration to prepare for.
Nighttime, and Rusa addresses dinner guests as Yasharu hurries to join them.
Be here to welcome my son's new wife, Pinaruti. She's the daughter of my loyal business companion, Iteri. She is a Cretan, but let's not hold that against her. good of you to join us, Yasharu.
Yasharu sits next to his wife.
Welcome. Now, I've seen many things in this world.
Dolphins in the Straits of Azim.
I've chased dolphins across the Straits of Azim. Yes. I've loaded my ships with treasures from Egypt. I've fought pirates off the shores of Elias.
But none of it compares to the magnificence of this beautiful island.
But none of it. None of it compares to the magnificence of this island. An island I like to believe I've played a small part in making great.
Sorry I was late.
Without Cretan middlemen,
Did you make your offering?
Business with the Hittites is stronger than ever. And I can tell you...
Something happened at the sanctuary.
It's taken many years of...
The ground cracked. There was this fountain of boiling water. I don't know where it came from.
Our friends in the Levant.
It was as if the whole island was being torn apart.
Very favorable.
The ball leaping, you said that the ground shook.
For the supply...
You should tell your father.
Cedarwood. I had hoped that my only son would follow in my wake and take to the seas. But until now, he's put his blood and sweat into bulls and temple priestesses. He is hoping that his wife can make a better man of him.
He's drunk. Let's go.
We can't. This is in our honor.
You think this is for us?
Yasharu gets up and walks out, leaving Pinaruti looking embarrassed. Outside, Yasharu's about to walk off down the street holding a flaming torch. He stops in surprise, looking up at a flock of birds flying around in alarm.
My advice to anyone who marries is this. Enjoy every day. Because you never know when the gods will decide to take away what is most precious to you.
They've blessed you, sir.
You tell us that they want us to do this and do that. We do it because you say so.
This is intolerable.
I don't speak to you.
Suddenly, the room starts to shake. Sections of a mural break away from the wall, and everyone rises to their feet. As the tremors worsen, lumps of masonry start falling from above, and one piece strikes a man as it tumbles. Pinaruti has managed to get outside, but finds only panic and yet more destruction. One man's clothes are set alight by burning oil. Rusa and some others try to smother the flames. He spots Pinaruti.
Where's Yasharu?
I don't know.
Pinaruti and a priestess look up at a shaking lamp that suddenly settles as the earthquake subsides.
One of the Minoans' most powerful gods was the Earthshaker. And for good reason. Structural damage uncovered on Thera shows that around 1620 BC, they were exposed to an enormous earthquake, measuring more than 7 on the Richter scale. The buildings were designed to withstand minor tremors and quakes. Thick timber frames had been used to give them extra strength. Until finally, this quake, strong enough to shatter these stone steps, set in motion an irreversible chain of events for the people of Thera.
The man who was burned, Yadini, is being tended to by a woman. She gently peels burnt fabric and skin from his shoulder. Yadini sees Pinaruti.
Hey, little lady. Has your husband left you already?
You should try the temple. You used to find his peace there.
Helping an injured woman, she tries to ignore him. Smoke is rising from the wrecked buildings on the island. In the hilltop temple, Rusa and Pinaruti are watching as two men search through fallen rubble and wooden beams.
Quick! Over here!
They come across Yasharu.
Is he all right?
Looks like he's alive.
They remove some debris from him.
Hold on, there's someone else.
Lying next to Yasharu in the dust is an equally dazed young woman. Her eyes meet Pinaruti's. It's Ariad. When Yasharu looks up at her, Pinaruti immediately rushes away. bird's eye view of the island, with the smoking volcano separated from the harbour town by a narrow stretch of water. Therans are still attempting to rescue people from the rubble, and dead bodies are being covered with sheets. Pinaruti sits outside Rusa's house, watching as a corpse is carried past. Rusa and Yasharu appear. Shamefaced, Yasharu wanders over to Pinaruti and sits beside her. Tearful, she sits with her back to him.
Look, I only went to the temple to get away from my father. I didn't know she'd be there.
I don't want your excuses. Everyone knows what you've been doing with that woman. Even your father jokes about it. You've humiliated me, Yasharu. I won't stand for it.
As soon as I knew she was there, I told her...
You told her it was over.
I told her that...
It was a goodbye.
She turns her head to glare at him.
Yeah, it was goodbye.
Yadini and Bansabira are surveying the damage to the temple.
We need to restore normality as soon as possible. Get them back into their homes.
It's too soon. Their homes aren't safe yet.
The houses may be damaged, but most of them are still standing.
The houses have been weakened. We need to make them safe before the people return.
And expect people to leave everything behind for thieves to steal.
Anything of value can be safely stored in the basements or under the door frames where the buildings are strongest. Then we seal up the doors.
And the people go where? You expect them to camp in the streets?
They move them out of the city while we repair the buildings.
Priestess.
Enough lives have been lost. We set up camps until the houses can be made safe. And Rusa, the buildings are not all we have to repair.
You take care of the gods, priestess. I'll get the town up and running.
Workmen shore up buildings.
Archaeological evidence reveals that the earthquake damage was so severe that the Therans had to leave their homes. Their precious possessions were discovered stored beneath solid structures like wooden doorways and under beds. And the entrances to the houses were found sealed. Unlike Pompeii, no human remains have been found in the town, suggesting the islanders moved to temporary camps, imagining they'd be coming home soon.
People bow as Bansabira walks through the temporary camp which has been set up on the edge of the town. She approaches Pinaruti, who's praying by a fire which has been lit in a large bowl at a makeshift sanctuary. Bansabira kneels down beside her.
You're as pious as a priestess, Pinaruti. There are others on this island who could learn from your example.
Rusa?
He lost a wife. And he blames a priestess for failing to placate the goddess Aletheia.
She died during childbirth.
They were only newly married. Ever since he's found it difficult to put his trust in us.
If we can't trust you, who can we trust?
The question seems to trouble the High Priestess.
For over 17,000 years, the magma chamber under Thera had been sealed. But the earthquake had fractured the chamber.
Lava beneath the sea.
Allowing magma to escape through vents, releasing sulfur and other poisonous gases.
On board the boat.
You sure it's safe to be this close?
It's fine.
The volcano looms up ahead.
What's that smell? It's like rotten eggs.
That's the smell of the water. We believe it drives the bad spirits away.
We don't know why it smells. Well, why is it so lovely and hot? Come in, it's great!
Dead fish rise to the surface around Yasharu.
What's wrong?
Yasharu.
Swim over to us.
Quick!
Captain Boat.
He's hauled back on board the boat as yet more dead fish float to the surface. The water's bubbling, the result of fissures opening in the seabed and magma mixing with the water. Smoke billows from vents in the side of the volcano.
My father won't believe it was a sign. I just wish I was better at understanding the gods. They're trying to tell us something, no?
Your father's a powerful and sensible man, Yasharu. When he talks, everyone listens to him. If you can just convince him that this is a warning from the gods.
My father's faith in the gods ended when they stole my mother from him.
A large boulder tumbles down the side of the volcano. Frightened birds wheel around the sky. Yasharu gets to his feet.
Where are you going?
To the temple. Bansabiril will know what the gods want.
The volcano erupts. A massive explosion sends a gigantic column of rock, smoke, dust and ash hundreds of feet into the air.
Finally, pressure from rising magma blasted out a plug of rock that had blocked the mouth of the volcano for thousands of years.
As the great cloud of smoke rises, darkening the sky, a fearful Bansabira stands watching from the temple.
This was a pre-eruption. Simply the volcano clearing its throat.
She holds out a hand to the falling ash.
Previous generations would have witnessed small eruptions like this and seen them as signs from the gods. Signs that the priesthood was expected to understand.
Yadini.
The Shaker is speaking to us, just as he spoke to our forefathers. We must respond as they did.
Bansabira hurries away. Outside, people hold flaming torches as they walk in a procession up the hillside. The ash continues to rain down from the dark sky.
For the Minoans, there was no better way to appease unpredictable and violent gods than to make an offering.
A bull.
Preferably of blood.
Pinaruti and Yasharu are amongst the crowd.
Your father didn't see fit to join us.
He's busy.
Is that so?
Our bear's too busy
to honor the gods.
Pinaruti draws close to Yasharu as they continue on towards the sacrifice altar.
Their peak sanctuaries have been found littered with animal bones. Goats, sheep, pigs, even bulls.
A man standing behind the altar with the bull. Bansabira's in front of it, watching four priestesses dancing in unison. With lithe, hypnotic grace, they throw their arms up in the air, thrusting their hips and chests in and out in a rhythmic fashion. Bansabira raises the double-headed axe aloft, and the crowd bow their heads in reverence.
Hail
Poseidon.
Hail Poseidon.
Poseidon.
Poseidon, raging lord of the deep. We offer you the sacred blood of bulls. May it drown your anger, mighty dark-haired lord. Let us live in stillness and peace once more.
Hail Poseidon, ruler of the earth and sea.
Looking uneasy, Ariad quickly averts her eyes when Pinaruti and Yasharu glance over at her. Bansabira approaches the animal, who's still being restrained by a man who pulls tighter on its tether. She raises the axe in the air. The ball's head lands with a mighty thud on the ash-covered ground. Rivulets of rich red blood collect in a bowl.
The priesthood's power hinged on its ability to keep the gods in check.
A manservant pours blood into a conical vessel that Bansabira's holding. She pours the dark, sticky animal's blood over two altar stones that are shaped like horns.
But the forces unleashed beneath Thera were now unstoppable.
The ground begins to move. Bansabira steps back from the altar stones as they rattle and shake. Huge clouds of dark smoke billow up into the sky. Then an aerial view of Thera.
From volcanic deposits, we know that the early stages of the eruption covered the island with a sprinkling of light ash, enough to contaminate the water supply.
What are you doing? You're trying to poison me.
They're taking against Pinaruti.
I'm sure she means no harm.
This trouble began when she arrived here. You know that. Rusa brought her here, and we know the gods don't favor him. Perhaps they're providing a way for both of us to get what we want.
Yadini moves on. Ariad watches him go, then looks towards Pinaruti again, who's quickly led away by Yasharu. Nighttime at the temple. Ariad enters and finds Bansabira at prayer.
Forgive me, High Priestess. I think I know what Poseidon's asking for.
She stares at Ariad, who's waiting in the doorway.
Speak.
Ariad steps forward hesitantly.
I should have shared it earlier, when Pinaruti told me about her vision.
Go.
She saw a sacrifice. But it was not a bull. Was a person.
Getting up from her kneeling position of prayer, Bansabira's looking mystified, but eager to know more as she steps towards Ariad.
Who?
Yasharu rolling in ash.
It was her own blood that was spilled. She was the sacrifice. Perhaps her vision is the god's way of telling us that she's not welcome. But she's cursed.
Bansabira considers this.
Tell Yadini to gather the people. I will speak to them and restore order.
What would make this eruption different from any other the Therans had experienced? Was the interaction of two kinds of magma, triggering a catastrophic chemical reaction.
Daytime. Bansabira walks amongst the people, wearing a ritual hat and robes.
This chemical reaction would thrust an estimated 150 billion tons of magma to the surface.
They bow as she passes them, continuing her walk through the encampment.
And transform this eruption into the greatest disaster the ancient world had ever seen.
Magma's forcing its way along a channel deep below ground. Yadini's waiting for Bansabira at the edge of the encampment.
High Priestess, the people wait to hear you.
Bansabira's readying herself to speak.
People of Thera! Everyone! Friends and colleagues!
must listen to me.
This is preposterous.
The blood of bulls is not enough. There is nothing more we can offer. The gods have given us enough warning. My fleet will sail at sunset. We will leave the island until it is safe to return.
There is only one authority we can trust on this island.
It's true.
Resignation settles on Roos's face.
People of Thera, in order to restore peace on our island, Poseidon has asked for something more.
What are you going to offer him now? Lions? Elephants?
Until peace and calm can be restored, those that want to leave the island may do so.
I cannot stay here, surely.
You have to do your duty, Roosa. And I have to do mine.
The crowd stir uneasily.
There will be another sacrifice. This time, I will undertake it on behalf of all of us.
The fiery hot magma continues to course along a winding path towards the surface with deadly speed. The Therans look round in panic as they notice huge clouds of ash spurting out of the top of the volcano. The volcano erupts, spewing out enormous amounts of black ash into the sky. The shockwave from the eruption sends people flying through the air. Yasharu grabs Pinaruti, and the pair cling for dear life to a large rock. Pots shatter against the rocks. A man's hurled against the tent by the explosion's force. The Therans curl up on the ground, desperately trying to protect themselves from the volcano's onslaught.
The sound of the eruption was heard as far away as Egypt. A superheated column of gas, ash, and rock blasted 6 miles into the stratosphere, forming a mushroom cloud similar to an atomic bomb.
An enormous, murky gray cloud.
This was a Plinian eruption, the most deadly of all volcanic events.
Everyone! We need to leave the island now! To stay here is madness! Everyone, follow me! To the ships!
Roosa races over to Yasharu and Pinaruti.
Get your things and meet me at the harbor!
But now...
To Bansabira.
We do as we plan. Bring me Pinaruti.
Yadini heads off. Then the island viewed from above. On board Roosa's ship.
We need every inch of every ship. Okay, everybody, cargo overboard! Come on!
Throwing cargo overboard.
Mate, come on! Come on, move!
Bansabira's waiting in the temple when Yasharu and Pinaruti enter.
We're leaving the city with my father.
You're free to go, Yasharu.
We're both leaving.
No! Pinaruti must fulfill her destiny, the gods have demanded it.
Her destiny is with me.
Your vision, Pinaruti, spelled out your destiny. We do not choose these things. The gods decide for us. We must ensure it is fulfilled.
Vision. What vision?
You said it wasn't clear. That it wasn't the god speaking, it was my own fears. And it wasn't me.
Bansabira notices Pinaruti glaring at Ariad.
That's not what I saw.
Yasharu frowns at Ariad.
What did you see?
Pinaruti's avoiding everyone's gaze by staring at the floor. Yadini approaches.
Who did you see?
Who did you see?
Yasharu grabs a torch, then overturns a large urn of oil and ignites it, creating a wall of flame that blocks the temple exit.
Ah!
henchmen leap through the flames and chase after the pair, who are now running through the town en route to the dangerously overcrowded ship. Roosa's looking around the quayside.
Yeshua, where are you?
Bansabira turns to Ariad and Yedini.
It was Yesharu's blood she saw sacrificed. May Carassia forgive your deception, Ariad. I'm not sure I can.
She turns away from Ariad, who leaves. Yedini moves closer to Bansabira.
We know what the gods have asked for. The vision must be fulfilled.
It wasn't clear enough. I don't think...
Then start thinking.
The gods are tearing Thera apart. If you can't tell us why, if you can't stop it, then what must the people think? Where is your power, Bansabira, if you can't appease the gods? They've demanded a life, and they've shown us who it must be.
Her expression is one of dread, and a tear rolls down her cheek.
Find him.
Yedini leaves the temple. Yesharu's dragging Pinaruti through the ash-covered streets. He pulls Pinaruti over to a wooden door and starts digging to unseal it, while she looks around for their pursuers. He manages to get the door open and shoves her inside.
Wait, what are you doing?
If they catch you, they'll kill you. I'll get rid of them and come back for you.
What if you don't?
Then you must find my father and tell him what's happened.
I'm scared, Yesharu. I'm scared of losing you.
He kisses her, then smiles briefly before shutting the door on her. Yesharu runs through the falling ash, but is surrounded either side by Yadini's men. He jumps up onto a timber support that's shoring up a building. From there, he leaps up and grabs a timber beam that spans the street. He swings on it and kicks one of his pursuers in the face, then backflips off, landing in the street again. Another man rushes at him. Yesharu punches him and runs off, only to find himself surrounded by Yedini and several other men. He glares at them defiantly. Dark smoke continues to bellow out of the volcano. A man's pulling on a rope that's been used to bind Yesharu's hands together as he heads towards the place of sacrifice. To Bansabira.
You think killing me will stop this, Bansabira? The gods want us all dead.
Another explosion.
In the first hours of the eruption, the volcano would have ejected billions of tons of magma into the sky.
Pinaruti's hiding place.
Rapidly cooling, it fell as pumice.
She looks up at the roof.
These small stones and rocks, filled with tiny bubbles of air, began to bury the island.
One at a time! Don't push! Keep calm! Faster! We've got to set sail!
Yedini.
We need to get to the ships! We should go! Now!
He's got it, Bansabira! Even your own people don't believe in this!
Silence him!
Forgive me.
Ariad gags him.
But it was ash, not pumice, that posed the more immediate threat.
Help!
Volcanic ash isn't like ordinary ash. It contains silicon. Once inhaled, it mixes with the moisture in the lungs to form a liquid cement.
Somebody, please!
It makes breathing difficult. Then, impossible.
Bansabira notices Ariad struggling for breath. Turning away, she covers her own mouth. Kenaruti's using a beam to batter at the struts that cover a gap next to the door. Finally, she creates a hole big enough for her to scramble through to escape. Lying on the ground, Ariad's body is rapidly being covered by falling pumice and ash. At the quayside, people fight to board the ship.
He said he'd be back.
Rusa, we gotta go!
Take her to her father in Crete.
No! 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 I don't want to go without
him! Tie her up if you have to!
No! Let me go!
The ship pulls away from the quayside. Kenaruti struggles in vain to free herself from the bosun's grip. Yasharu's still being dragged towards the altar. Rusa's battling his way along an ash-clogged street when he turns to see the volcano firing yet more ash into the sky. Now, Yadini's hurrying his way through the crowds towards another ship. He pushes a woman out of his way and she falls into the sea. A man bars Yadini's path, but he shoves him roughly aside and boards the vessel just as it sets sail.
As the crater whitened, seawater poured into it. On contact with the magma, the water exploded as steam, triggering the next volcanic phase.
Rusa's racing towards the altar where Yasharu's tied up.
The violent reaction between water and magma created a phreatomagmatic eruption.
The volcano explodes once more, with the resulting sound causing the islanders to clap their hands over their ears and grimace with pain.
It's estimated the sound pressure from this explosion would have reached 300 decibels.
Yasharu's left writhing around on the altar, while Rusa takes his hands from his ears and stares up at the sky.
The sheer force and ripped rocks from inside the crater, catapulting them into the air like deadly missiles. Lava bombs.
Rusa's using a gate to shield himself.
These burning chunks of magma can be the size of a small truck and weigh up to 8 tons.
Lava bombs rain down from the sky. One hits a house and explodes, sending fiery backdrafts hurtling through the building. Rusa's holding the gate over his head as he struggles on towards the altar. On the second boat, Yadini's holding on to a rope and staring fearfully into the sky. He yells with sheer terror as a lava bomb hurtles towards the vessel. Beneath the sea's surface, Yadini's body sinking through the water. A number of boats are now at sea as the volcano continues to spew ash. Pinaruti's curled up on Rusa's boat.
Stand back! Stand back! Stand back!
There's nothing to go back to.
Pinaruti's clinging desperately onto the bosun's arm. Now freed from the altar, Yasharu's stumbling up a rocky crest. He pauses at the top and looks up at the billowing smoke that's pumping out of the volcano.
With the crater widening, the pressure forcing the column upwards started to drop.
Yasharu stares down into the crater below.
Gas and rock spilled from the sides of the collapsing column.
He watches as a large wall of gas and ash billows ominously across the sea towards the island.
Known as pyroclastic flows, these superheated waves of gas and rock reached speeds of up to 180 miles an hour, and temperatures of 700 degrees Celsius.
The pyroclastic wave hits the town, obliterating buildings and destroying everything in its path. On the hill, Musa turns around and watches open-mouthed as the wave rushes towards him. Dropping his makeshift shield, he starts to run. Yasharu's watching the wave, unaware that Bansabira's standing behind him, holding the double-headed axe. Realizing the futility of his attempted escape, Musa turns to face the oncoming wave.
You think you know what's precious to me? Is this all you have left?
Lying on the rocky crest, Yasharu's face is full of sorrow as he watches Musa throwing his arms up in a final defiance as the wave engulfs him. Eyes shining with tears, Yasharu turns and looks at Bansabira, who's still holding the axe. They both watch as the wave thunders towards them and hits. On Rusa's boat, Pinarutis slumped against the mast, looking completely hopeless.
As the pyroclastic flows hit the sea, hot ash caused the water surface to boil, propelling them along at an even faster speed on superheated beds of steam.
The bosun looks behind and sees the wave gathering pace towards them.
Come on, come on, row!
The fleet of ships escaping from the island are dwarfed by the pyroclastic wave coming up behind them. Volcanic ash continues to pour down from the leaden grey skies above. On board Rusa's ship, the bosun turns to the rowers and waves his arms. The ship falls silent as the people on board await their fate. The bosun stares around in desperation, realizing there is nothing more they can do. Still leaning against the mast, Pinaruti closes her eyes to the situation around her. Her head lolls to one side.
The deadly impact of the eruption extended far beyond the island of Thera. Pyroclastic flows push volcanic debris out into the sea, generating huge waves, tsunamis.
On another island, a crowd of townspeople stand on the edge of a wooden jetty and watch as the sea suddenly recedes at speed.
People on the nearby island of Crete might have seen the warning signs, but had little time to react. Traveling at 200 miles an hour, it would have taken only 20 minutes for the first tsunami to reach Crete.
Pinaruti wraps rope around her hand and grabs onto the ship's mast.
Experts estimate that by the time the waves hit the coastline, they would have been over 60 feet high.
The Cretans turn and flee for their lives, barely ahead of the enormous tidal wave that's heading towards the island. As the wave hits, it flows along streets, sweeping islanders off their feet and slams into buildings, destroying everything in its path. Out at sea, Rusa's ships riding the crest of the wave like a giant surfboard. Lashed to the mast, Pinaruti clings to the ropes as the water hits. Pinaruti's lying still with her eyes closed. Her face is covered in dirt and grime, and her double-headed axe necklace lies on her cheek. Slowly, her eyes flicker open.
New research has revealed that a series of tsunamis ravaged towns all along Crete's northern coastline for hours, if not days, after the eruption.
The ship is now on dry land,
killing an estimated 30,000 people.
She pulls herself to the side of the ship and rolls off onto the ground below.
It was a disaster on an unimaginable scale.
The volcano exploding.
3 times larger than Krakatoa. 100 times larger than Mount St. Helens. And 40,000 times more powerful than the Hiroshima bomb.
A map of the Mediterranean.
The ash from the eruption plunged the Mediterranean into weeks of darkness. Global temperatures dipped, stunting plant growth as far away as Britain.
Pinarutti walks across the debris-strewn landscape, stepping over a man's body.
Minoan society was shaken to the core.
A mural of a woman.
Archaeological evidence reveals that there was deep social unrest. Towns and temple palaces were sacked and burned. Humans sacrificed. Finally, a civilization that had lasted for over 1,300 years was invaded and absorbed by a warring Greek tribe called the Mycenaeans.
Pinarutti looks at her necklace.
Stories of the disaster, however, were passed on, retold, embellished. Many experts now believe that accounts of Thera's destruction inspired Plato to write a morality tale about the rise and fall of a great civilization he called Atlantis. He wrote, "The island consists of circular belts of sea and land, enclosing one another. A seaway and harbor filled with vessels and merchants from all quarters. And the wealth they possessed was so immense that the like had never been seen before. In the sacred precincts of Poseidon, there were bulls at large, and the 10 princes hunted after the bulls with staves and nooses. Then there occurred portentous earthquakes and floods, and one grievous day and night, the island of Atlantis was swallowed up by the sea and vanished."
Standing amongst the debris, Pinarutti stares out to sea towards the volcano, which is shrouded in grey cloud.
And so, a great and wonderful world, cut off in its prime by a disaster of cataclysmic proportions, became the birthplace of one of the greatest legends of all time. Atlantis.